It's the Local Beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry as they just celebrated their 20th year in operation yesterday. So a big congratulations to Vandermark Jewelers again right here on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. And for the Local Beat, we go to the hotline and welcome in Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle Telegram. Dave, how are we doing today?
We are good, Rocco. Thank you.
Fantastic, Dave. I'll tell you who's maybe not so good, a local fisherman, as they were taken aback by this story that has really garnered some national attention, perhaps even international attention, as you had kind of mentioned to me off air before we started rolling here. But, man, just a huge scandal out of the Lake Erie Walleye Trail Fishing Tournament. Some illegal cheating activity going on. And again, this has really turned a lot of heads, not just locally, but around the country and around the around the world, I think, for that matter. So what all happened here?
Yeah, so this is an absolutely crazy story, Rocco. And it started off when I can't believe this actually happened. And there's this much attention, but the Lake Erie Walleye Trail Fishing Tournament basically caught two of its competitors putting lead weights and walleye fillets inside their catches, nearly doubling what what their weigh-in was going to be. And they needed about 16, these two guys needed about 16 pounds. Jacob Runyon and Chase Kaminsky needed about 16 pounds worth of fish to get the Team of the Year award at the competition in Cleveland last week. They came in at 34 pounds. So Executive Director, Jason Fisher got a little suspicious, cut open one of the fish, found some of these lead weights and actual walleye fillets packed around these weights so that they wouldn't clink together, so they wouldn't make noise. Runyon and Kaminsky were immediately disqualified and then basically chased off the premises by angry fishermen. so much so that the police had to be called, that these guys had to flee before there was a possibility that they might get assaulted. And then the Ohio Department of Natural Resources is investigating. Absolutely wild stuff. Runyon, I think one of the gentlemen, I think it was Runyon, had been the winner of a tournament in Lorain back in June. We don't know how far back this alleged cheating scandal goes. We don't know, what's going on here right now. It's being investigated by the ODNR. But these tournaments are worth thousands upon thousands of dollars, like $30,000 in this particular event, in Cleveland. And these gentlemen have so far yet to comment, to my knowledge, about what was going on. But they were featured in the Washington Post. As we talked off air, they were featured in one of Australia's national newspapers. Sydney Morning Herald did a whole story about this.
Wow.
It's garnered just national attention. If you Google this case, it is around the country that people are that people are talking about this, that people are reading about this. Kind of a black eye for the for Northern Ohio fishing tournaments. Jason Fisher seems to be one of the victims in this, and he basically told a lot of news outlets, look, I stuff like this happens, but not in my tournament. And he immediately got rid of these guys. And they're like a couple times, 99.9% of the time, fishermen are legit, and they do this right. But these guys were caught up in this cheating scandal, and it's really, really, really kind of sad, that you have to feel like you have to do that. But yeah, that's some wild stuff on the North Coast here.
No kidding. And I like the quote in there that in the article you guys had in the Chronicle, Chase Parsons, who's on the national TV show The Next Bite. He kind of went over the fact that this isn't all that common. Again, that 99.9% number that you threw out there, that amount of people wouldn't normally even dream about doing something like this. Unfortunately, it just so happened to occur right by us in the Lake Erie Walleye Trail Tournament. And again, that calls into question some of their other wins. I know they were kind of in that MVP award running to the best duo for like a season-long effort, and they had won other tournaments. So what happens to that cash now? Do those winnings get put under investigation? Man, this is just crazy stuff, and boy, something certainly to follow along. Hard to believe that happened just kind of right in our backyard in that Lake Erie Walleye Trail fishing tournament. So certainly something to keep an eye on moving forward. Thanks for the breakdown on that one, Dave. The other story I wanted to go over with here with you this morning, you and Bruce Bishop had some stuff on this one in the Chronicle Telegram. Those Lake Erie Crushers, not a brand new home, but a little bit of a makeover over at Mercy Health Stadium. What can fans expect to see over there at the ballpark, Dave?
Well, they can expect to see new turf for the upcoming 2023 baseball season. And the Crushers, who are one of 16 teams that play American and Canadian teams, playing in independent Frontier League ball. They finished their season back on September 4th. And in the ensuing weeks, the Crushers ripped up their old turf, which had lasted them 13 years. Typically, that turf, is good for 8 to 10 years or so. There was some, and the Crushers didn't play during the pandemic nearly as much as they were planning to. Starting Monday, crews were smoothing out sort of the base layer, the gravel rock layer underneath. Underneath the old turf, and then the new turf was delivered on Monday, and it'll be put down there. $700,000 worth of new turf for that field, and obviously, Mercy Health Stadium, home of the Lake Erie Crushers, and then also they do some flag football, and they're hoping to do some other projects, some other events, soccer possibly, and also maybe some they're talking about putting in a new video board.
Right.
The only stadium in the Frontier League without a video board is Mercy Health Stadium there, and you can do movie nights and possibly have a new sponsor come in and help pay for that board. All just really, some nice stuff, some new touch-ups to the stadium. Bruce had a great photo and helped out with interviewing operations manager Joe Judah. And I wrote the story and did some background, some research, and just really a nice new little thing to kind of spruce up the stadium a little bit. I was out on that field. I've stood on that old turf, and it'll be nice to maybe get out there and stand on the new turf one of these days for another story. So yeah, the Crushers are moving up in the moving up in the stadium world, and hopefully it'll be nice for the players. They won't be won't have to deal with so many bad knees and bad legs. I mean, if you've ever run on a turf field, sometimes, depending on how old it is, it can be a little rough on rough on your body.
Yeah, no kidding. It can get kind of turn into like concrete sometimes, depending on where you're at. So, yeah, certainly got to be exciting stuff over there for the Crushers. Operations manager Joe Judah, a couple nice quotes in that article. I'm sure Tom Kramig, the owner, certainly very jazzed about that. And the video board / scoreboard stuff is very interesting to me as well. Again, the only team or stadium in the Frontier League without a video board. Like you said, Dave, that opens up so many possibilities. I still do some stuff with the Akron Rubber Ducks down there in Akron. And like we've talked about before, they have a beautiful video board, one of the best in AA baseball, and they have all kinds of movie nights and different things and promotions that they do with that board. So yeah, hopefully that all can kind of come to fruition, but certainly the new $700,000 turf field, if nothing else, will certainly be enjoyed by players, coaches, and fans alike here in Lorain County. Again, Dave O'Brien, our guest this morning on the Local Beat with O'Brien, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria. Dave, what are you and your colleagues over there at the CT working on this week as far as upcoming stories go?
Yeah, well, I'll have in this morning's paper, I'll have an update on the third crash this year through the Grange Square. Some charges filed on a Wakeman man who drove his Chevy through the square last week and was cited, DUI, some other misdemeanors there. Kevin Martin has a story about the ongoing demolition of the old Shane Furniture Building in downtown Elyria. That's a good story that'll be in this morning's paper. You can check everything else out on chroniclef.com. Pick up a copy, print copy of the paper as well.
Three crashes in the square. Leave that square alone, people. Come on. I mean, it's just taken a beating in the past year or so. My goodness gracious. Well, for the latest on that and more, again, you can check out the latest from Dave and all of his colleagues over there at the Chronicle Telegram. Pick up a copy of the CET today or that digital e-edition online at chroniclet.com. All right, Dave, we can close on this, my favorite time of the week. What is this week's scanner story?
Well, here's one from our folks over at Northeast Ohio Scanner on Twitter at @NEO_scan. Dateline Shaker Heights, technical rescue personnel called out for a man who's locked in his chicken coop by his toddler.
The tables have turned now, Dad. I'm not in timeout. You're in timeout, loser. Oh, no. How does that happen? How do you... Oh, man. That is tough break for him. Tough break for him. Well, at least he got out, and so that's a rather long grounding for the toddler, I would have to imagine, after something like that. Wow. Entertaining scanner story, as always, Dave. And appreciate the insight in and around Lorain County. Again, for the latest from Dave and all of his colleagues, just check out or pick up a copy, I should say, of that Chronicle Telegram, or check out the digital e-edition online at chronicleT.com. Dave, thank you, as always, for the time this morning, good sir. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll catch up some more next week.
Happy to be here, Rocco, as always, and yeah, we'll talk to you next week.